The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at Life Streams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Well, good morning, everyone. Well, this morning I start a little four-week mini-series that we have simply entitled Pursue. Now, if you were here on Vision Sunday, you might remember that our God-directed focus or our theme for 2016 is based on three things. And I'm wondering whether you might remember maybe some of them. Just have a bit of a quick think. But they're the things that we believe God wants us to pursue as a faith community this year. Can you remember? Pursue the Spirit. Pursue one. And you might remember these little things. We're going to have a little bit of a focus on them in a moment. And pursue what? Deeper spiritual relationships. Fantastic. And they're the things that over the next 3 weeks we're going to look at. So we're going to take a week and we're going to spend time on pursuing the Spirit, pursuing one, and pursuing deeper spiritual relationships over the next 3 weeks. But today I want to have a chat about pursuing generosity. Yes, today I'm going to be focused on just trying to encourage us to continue to or to start being generous with our finances. Now, before you switch off, okay, because I know that as soon as the pastor mentions the word finances and money, I don't want you to switch off. And I ask you not to switch off because I actually believe that this topic is a hard issue. It's a hard issue, and it's also a discipleship issue, and it's very much linked to our kingdom lives. Here at Lifestream South Perth, we believe that God has called us to be a generous people. It's one of our kingdom core values, and you'll see it on our tram banner, and you'll see it around the place. We want to be known as a generous people. It's also a part of our kingdom life, and you might see the banner up on the back wall. Kingdom stewardship is a key branch in our discipleship framework. And we believe that being a kingdom steward is all about using what God's given us. And God's given us so much, hasn't He? Our bodies, our gifts and talents, our time, our resources, and again, dare I say it, our finances. To build His kingdom. To build His kingdom for His glory and for not our own. Now, as I was reflecting on this message, I went back to when I became a Christian at the age of 15. And I had a fantastic guy by the name of Tony Spencer, and some of you might know him. He's a Baptist minister. And at the age of 15, he took me under his wing and he discipled me. And one of the areas in which he discipled me in is this area of giving. And he encouraged me to do the Old Testament tithe. And you might know, what is the Old Testament tithe? It's 10% of what we earn. And he encouraged me to do that. He encouraged me to give 10% what I earned back to God and back to his church, because he just hammered into me the fact that the church is the vehicle that God chose. The vehicle that God chose to spread the good news of Jesus throughout the world. Now, that's all good and well. And I look back and I thank God for Tony. But it's another thing to do, right? It's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to do. You see, I've got Dutch blood in me. Any other people have got Dutch blood? Now, I'm not speaking on behalf of all of us. This is just my Dutch blood, okay? I've got Dutch blood in me, and we're renowned for a few things. Two of those things very quickly come to mind. The first thing is that we are stubborn, or I'm stubborn. My family, stubborn. The second thing is we're tight. We're renowned for being tight with our money. And, you know, I thought about that, and I like to think that I'm measured, not stubborn. And I'm wise and not tight in the way that I spend my money. And these two traits that I've inherited from my grandfather, he was quintessentially stubborn, and he was, God rest his soul, quintessentially wise with his money. And, you know, that really proved to manifest itself in me when I was in church and I would hear John or Bill Gaunson get up and talk about money and the church, and these two traits would manifest. I'd sit in church with a really negative attitude towards the offering. I thought that, well, you know, the money's mine. Why should I give it to the church? It's mine, so I can do with whatever I want with it. And you know what? The reality is, to some extent, that's true. It is true. The money that you get, that you earn, is yours. And we're free to do with whatever we want with our money. But the reality is that I decided to follow Jesus. So I decided to hand everything over to Him because I was a new creation. The old had gone, and that meant that those old attitudes had to go. Those old attitudes had to be put to death, and the new had to come. So the Spirit got to work. It got to work on me and got to work in my heart. And God gave me Leanne, my wife. And He used her to show me what generosity really looked like. Leanne is the most generous person that I know. When she was young, on her very small wage, she supported her family, and she's probably really embarrassed that I'm saying this, but she supported her family on that wage during a really tough time as a family and as a tough financial situation. She always tries to put God first and people first in our finances, and she's always looking to give above and beyond to our mission family and to people who are in need. Her heart is like God's. Her heart is generous. And over the years, God has used her to show me that it is way more fun to be generous. It's way more fun to be generous than to be stubborn and to be tight. You know, it's interesting that even as I'm preparing, I've got a little bit of a way to go, because, you know, we're almost at the end of the financial year. And guess what happens at the end of the financial year? You fill in a tax return and you get a tax check. And I'm already thinking about all the things that I'm going to spend that money on for me. And then Leanne and the Holy Spirit go, hey, hang on a minute. That's not yours. And she encourages me to go, hey, what are you going to do with that money? How are you going to steward a portion of that money that God is going to bless you with to build His kingdom and for His glory and not for my own? What about you? Just a question up on the screen here. What about you? As we pursue generosity as a church, what is your attitude towards giving? What is your attitude towards tithing and the church? It's worth reflecting on. Where is your heart at this morning? You know, I said a little bit earlier, this is a heart attitude. This reveals how we are in this area as we look at our hearts. So what's your attitude? You know, one of the biggest challenges I believe that I have as your leader is to keep us focused and heading towards a God-sized mission. And the real challenge is helping you to see that our mission is a mission that is worth investing in. And it's worth investing in things like leadership. It's worth investing in things that are going to help us get there, strategic programs like children's and youth, our missions, childcare, our pastoral care, building community, the facilities, and all the other resources that we need to fuel our mission, which is to do what, church? It's to help people find and follow Jesus. It's over there. It's a reminder for us every single Sunday. Now, I'm not sure what you think about our mission. I'd love to ask you, maybe that's something that I might, as I bump into you during the week. What do you think about our mission? I like it. I like it because it's simple. I like it because you can remember it. It's very, very easy. And nothing thrills me more when I hear you pray, and you're praying our mission. You're praying that God will help us to help people find and follow Christ. Nothing thrills me more. It's simple. It's easy to remember. Do you think it's big? Do you think that is a God-sized mission? Simple words, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 words. Do you think it's big? I think it's big. I think it's big because we actually stole it from Jesus. What do I mean by that? Well, the reality is that it's the great mission. It is the great mission that Jesus gave us in Matthew 28. And in my mind, there is no greater mission. There is no bigger mission than to help people find and follow Jesus. So, with that in mind, I was reflecting on the past 3 years. And we've had a pretty sharp focus on discipleship. We've had a pretty sharp focus on this following part of our mission. And guess what, church? That's not going to change. It's not going to change because we'll always have a focus on growing in our kingdom lives, because we want to grow spiritually strong. We want to grow spiritually healthy, because we believe as we do that, we're going to produce a bulk load of fruit. And that fruit, God's going to use to build his kingdom. And it's going to be fruit that'll last. However, I don't think it's any coincidence that he's now calling us to pursue the Spirit like we never have before. Calling us to be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit people. Calling us to be more and more dependent upon him. And I don't think it's any coincidence that he's calling us to go, to pursue one, to be more intentional about that. Who's got their little zero with us? You might remember that God's heart is that none should perish. And that's why we've got zeros. That's why we gave them out. That's why we want you to place them somewhere to remind you. And I just want to very quickly pray about this. We've got to keep praying. So let's pray. Lord, as we pursue one this year, I want to pray that by your Spirit, you would lead us to one person who is a person of peace. One person who is searching for you, God. And Lord, may you give us the privilege to love this person, to share the gospel with this person so that we can see them come to know you. Lord, we know there's nothing that we can do to bring people to yourself. It's you and your Spirit, but you choose to use us. I pray that you would use us as we pursue one this year. Lord, give every single one of us this exciting opportunity to pursue one and to see one come to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been called to do that. And we've also been called to be more and more intentional about having deeper spiritual relationships, to be connected. And this is where the church leadership is trying to take us. This is where we're going as a faith community. Can you see it? Can you see it? I hope it gets you excited. I hope you desire a Spirit-filled life. I hope you can see our church and our churches, because we're a church that wants to keep planting churches. So when I say I hope that you want to see our church, but also all the churches that we plant full of new disciples. I hope that you want to be a part of the church where you belong, where you know, where you're known, where you matter, and where you're loved. I can see it. Our leadership can see it. And we're praying for it. So what's this got to do with generosity? What's this got to do with money? You might be sitting there thinking, well, the reality is that the local church's mission is dependent upon the churches, is dependent upon my and yours, your finance, your generosity. The local church cannot exist without each and every one of us generously fueling and funding this mission. So what I want to do quickly is just give you a little bit of a snapshot on kind of the percentages on where we believe God is wanting us to spend our money. So first of all, here is our income. Here is the money that God is bringing to us. And this is as of April, the end of April, year to date, 2016. So you will see there that our offerings, we 50% of our offerings, 50% of our income is through our offerings. Our childcare at the moment is about 20% of what comes in. 12% is hire of facilities and different assets that we have. 11% is mission. There's 4% of other, that's kind of interest. We have some interest that comes in through the banks, but also our cafe and things like that. And then the other one is 3% for our buildings, our building offerings. So let's jump down to the expenses year to date, April 16, 2016. You will see there that 25% of our expenses are on admin and finance, so that's our support services. That's made up of association fees. We have an association fee with COQUA. There's some wages there, IT, all of our utilities, so that's all of the bills that we need to pay. 22% is being spent on the childcare. 11% is our C2C mission fund. 11% goes on our children's. We've got their youth, young adults. So that includes children, youth, young adults, RISE, TREK, SURGE, UPROAR, all of our programs that reach out to our young people. We've got our facilities and grounds. It's about 10%. 7% on pastoral care and community. 7% on leadership. 6% on discipleship and worship. And 2% on our cafe. Now, that is just a very broad snapshot of income and expenses. And I guess two things I want to say. The first thing is, with our income, 50% of our income is on our offerings. And we as a leadership would like to see that increase. That's the first thing we want to say. The second thing is that we're doing pretty well financially this year. And I want to take an opportunity to thank you. To thank you for your generosity and thank you for sowing into the mission and the vision here at LifeStreams. So, as you can see from our income, we rely very heavily on your generosity. We rely very heavily on the generosity of the church, our generosity. And without the tithe, we are unable to invest in all of those things that I mentioned. All of the things like leadership, sowing into the poor and the marginalized and the needy across the globe, as well as do some of the not so cool stuff. You know, the reality is that we all love to give to a really awesome cause. And the poor and the needy, you know, it gets us excited. But the reality is there's some not so cool stuff, like our house needs to be maintained. We need to pay bills and utilities. And we also want to grow it and expand it because we believe in faith that the best is still yet to come. So, as I was praying about what God would have me say this morning, I must admit that I was kind of all over the place. All over the place because there is so much in the Bible about giving. And there's so much in the Bible that I could have focused on. You know, the Bible devotes a fair amount of real estate to instruction, to narratives, and inspiration on how we should think about and how we should use our resources. And it was one of, did you know, Jesus's favorite topic. Loved to talk about finance and being generous. Do you think this is by accident? You know, there's no other area of our life that so readily reveals where our priorities truly lie. Let me say that again. No other area of our lives so readily reveals where our priorities truly lie. Our values and our possessions are intricately tied to each other. Why do I say that? Well, there's this verse in Matthew 6, verse 21, where it says, "Where your treasure is, your heart will be also." So, with that in mind, what does the New Testament say to us about giving this morning? I want to suggest three very simple principles for giving. Three very simple principles that are essentially four words. And I'm hoping that these four words you'll be able to take with you and to reflect throughout the week on where you're at with some of this. It's pretty clear in the New Testament that God expects us to give. Is that right? It's pretty clear in the New Testament that God expects us to give, number one word, number one principle, cheerfully. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, it says this, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Why does God want us to give cheerfully? Well, as I was reflecting on this, I think that you have all probably experienced receiving a gift from a reluctant giver. I know I have. And the reality is that there's this kind of little bit of me that comes out when I'm receiving a gift from a reluctant giver. And inside, I kind of feel like, well, you should just keep it. You know, it's chalk and cheese to receiving a gift from someone who has thought about it, who's spent some time preparing for it, who sacrificed for it, and then being so excited that they can't wait to give it. It's chalk and cheese. I love a cheerful giver. I bet you love a cheerful giver. And guess what? God loves a cheerful giver. I want you to turn to the person next to you and just again remind them that God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. You know, we are so blessed. We're so blessed, aren't we? You know, just take a moment out of your busy day just to sit back. Just take 10 minutes. And as you take 10 minutes, as you stop and as you reflect on all that He has done, all that He has given you, we are so blessed. He's given us everything. It all belongs to Him. He gave His Son so that we could live. That ought to make you cheerful. And our motivation to give should come from deep within our souls. In response to that, not reluctantly or under compulsion, our cheerful giving should be a natural reflex to our all-loving God, to our all-generous God. And that's the first thing. Cheerfully, we need to give cheerfully. The second thing is, the New Testament also teaches that we need to give regularly, and we need to give intentionally. Two other words. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. It says, now about the collection for the Lord's people. Do what I told the Galatians to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. So it's interesting as you kind of dig a little bit around these couple of verses, the context of this offering that Paul was referring to is a collection for God's people. And it's believed that it was for God's people in Jerusalem who had hit some tough times. Now, some commentators believe it was because of famine. Some other people, get this, actually believe because it was they needed an offering because of their over-generosity. And, you know, you read in Acts 2, 42, and they were giving away so much stuff, and they had given so much away that they were now needing to be blessed by the church. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? But in these verses, Paul teaches the Corinthian church some pretty good principles for giving. And you might kind of be a person that sits back in church and you think, why do they do that, or why do they do this? And the reality is that this is probably the place where we got the principles for having an offering. Now, Let me just share a couple of things. Paul says, just like the Galatian church, I want you to give. I want you to give on the first day of the week. So how regular is Paul encouraging the church to give? Every week? On the Sabbath? On a Sunday? When you assemble for worship. So that's the first principle. The second thing is, next he says, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. So who needs to give? Everyone. Everyone who has an income. And our giving should be proportional or should be a percentage of what we earn. That means that we can all experience. You know, it doesn't matter whether we've got a big pay packet or we've got a medium-sized pay packet or a small pay packet. We can all experience the joy of giving no matter the size of our income. You might have heard the little quote, equal sacrifice. That's the everyone bit, but not equal giving. The reality is we can't all expect to give the same amount. So equal sacrifice, not equal giving. Then he goes on and he says, saving it up so that when I come, it's not hurried and ineffectively collected. To me, that speaks of intentionality. Intentionality. You know, one of the funny little comics that I saw during the week, the pastor's out the front talking to, obviously, one of the parishioners, and he kind of says to him, hey, didn't you just hear my message? I preached 10% of your income, not 10% of what you've got in your pocket. You know, it's got to be intentional. It's got to be regular. Paul is encouraging us to do it as a church. And those principles are principles that are still applicable for us today. So intentional and regular. And then the third thing, the New Testament also teaches that we need to give sacrificially. I don't know about you, but this is a massively challenging and inspiring piece of Scripture. It's in Matthew chapter 12, verse 41. It says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Wow. Challenging, hey? This poor widow, what does the scripture say? Put in what? Everything. Put in all she had. Not 2%, not 8%, not 7.5%, not 10%, but what? 100%. And Jesus calls his disciples in. He kind of, let's huddle in, guys. And then he teaches them that the most important thing is not the amount of the gift, but it's the extent to which the gift is a sacrificial one. Do you get that? Her gift demonstrated this, as well as an attitude of absolute trust in God. So I wonder, church, I wonder, do you trust God with your finances? Are you willing to sacrifice for the kingdom? I hope this poor widow inspires you in that journey this morning. Well, we've looked at being cheerful givers. We've looked at being regular and intentional givers. We've also looked at what it means to give sacrificially. So I want to ask the question, so what? So what? What might the Spirit be saying to your heart this morning about this whole area? Remember, this is a hard attitude. Remember, this is a discipleship journey. What is the Spirit saying to you? And as we land this message this morning, can I encourage you and challenge you with these few things? Firstly, if you give cheerfully, if you give regularly and intentionally, and we know that there are many of you in this place who do that, I want to say God bless you. I want to say thank you. You are such a blessing. And I hope for you this morning, these verses, these words have encouraged you to continue to be cheerful giver, to be regular, to be intentional, and to be sacrificial. That's the first thing I want to say. Thank you. The second thing is, if you don't tithe, can I encourage you to enjoy to experience the joy of generous giving by taking a small step of faith. Now, 10%, you might be thinking, oh, they expect me to give 10%. Well, that might be a really good starting point for some. However, you might be thinking, I just cannot afford 10% of what I get at the moment. Financially, things are really tough. We know that things are financially tough out there, and there are financially tough probably right in here. So 2% or 5% or 8% or even maybe 1% might be a more appropriate starting point for you and where you're currently at. Instead of doing nothing, I want to encourage you to pray. I want to encourage you to take a small step of faith by deciding on a percentage with God. God, what is it that you're wanting me? What percentage you're wanting me to sow into this mission and into God's kingdom? And then I want to encourage you to increase that percentage as God grows your faith. And I know, without a shadow of a doubt, that as you do that, you will not be able to outgive God. And I bet you there's hundreds of people here this morning that can give testimony to that. So if you're wanting to jump in, can I encourage you to grab one of these? This is just a very simple brochure called Our Giving Streams. You can grab that from our info desk, and that's a really good place to start. So that's the second thing. The third thing is, do you have control of your finances, or do your finances have control of you? And when we don't have control of our finances, the reality is that it's a huge reason why many of us don't get to experience the joy of giving. Well, if that's you, I want to encourage you. We've got a fantastic course called CAPS. I did it at the start of this year. It is a fantastic course that helps you to just have a really good audit of your finances. And it gives you tools so that you can get free from your finances controlling you, so that you can be more cheerful in your giving, so that you can invest in the kingdom. And what I want to do, and what I want to challenge you to do right now, you can see on the screen, there's a mobile phone. Our next CAPS course is actually scheduled for August. But I've said to Matt, if there's some people here as a result of hearing some stuff today and hearing from the Spirit want to do this course, we will run this course in the next month or so. So if this is you, can I encourage you to text that number and say, please let us know who you are, but say, I would love to do that CAPS course, and we'll get one happening ASAP. So that's the third thing. The fourth thing is this, and this might be a really big challenge this morning. And it goes like this. Are you teaching your children to give? To all the parents out there, remember that generosity and giving is connected to discipleship. Do you model cheerful, regular, intentional, and sacrificial giving to them? Your attitude to finances and to giving will, guess what? Be handed on to your children. And then what will most likely happen is that they will hand that attitude on to their children as well. It's pretty scary, isn't it? You know, one of the cool things that I read during the week, and a family has started to do this, is they have three jars. And the three jars remind them of what it means to be cheerful, regular, intentional, and sacrificial. Three jars. Labeled on one of the jars is spend, and they have a percentage next to that. And you decide as a family what that percentage is, but theirs is spend 60%. Their next jar is save 30%. Man, imagine if we save 30%. And then the third one is give 10%. And it's just a really good reminder of this whole area of discipling your children to give. I want in the spirit and the heart of this one, I want you to remember that it's all God's. It's all God's. And we as a family, decide what percentages, and we do that out of prayer. Okay, so that's the fourth thing. The fifth thing is, again, might be another big challenge for you, but have you thought about how you might sow into your family and into the kingdom of God beyond this life here on earth? What legacy will you leave? Can I encourage you to be someone who generously sows into resourcing God's kingdom beyond the grave? We all have that opportunity. Recently at our AGM, we launched our Legacy Fund. Now, is Malcolm here? Malcolm Cow? Great, Malcolm. Come up, mate. Can I have a microphone? Now, church, this is something that I've been super excited about wanting to tell you about. But at our AGM just recently, we launched our LifeStreams Legacy Fund. And you might, I think everyone's received that brochure in their community life. Encourage you to have a read. But mate, just very quickly, what is this about? What is our LifeStreams Legacy Fund?
Sure, thanks, Rod. This morning on the way in, as Rod said, you'll have received a copy of the Legacy Fund brochure in our community life. Now, on the back of our community life lists all the bank accounts that you can give money to in terms of the operations of this church for now and also for C2C. But the Legacy Fund, which isn't on the back, is a new fund, and it's our heart and hope that we can build a sizable fund of money that will fund ongoing ministry into the future. Now, with the development of the block, we'll receive quite a sizable sum from Barrington's upon that completion. But the fund is also an opportunity for you to either give now or to leave a bequest to the fund in the future to fund ongoing mission both locally and internationally.
So, mate, does that mean that we don't have to give anymore on a Sunday?
No, okay. Absolutely not. So it would be our desire that you would continue your normal offerings, your normal C2C giving, and the earnings from this fund would be on top so that we as a church can do far more in investing in God's kingdom.
And it's going to have a real missional flavour. We really want this fund to be a fund that we invest in missional opportunities.
Absolutely. Yep. It's not going to be funding the day-to-day operations of this place.
Yep. Excellent, mate. Now, you're going to make yourself available for people to have a chat?
I am, yes. So after the service, you can speak to myself. Richard Moore will be here shortly. And John Bond, I'm not sure if John's here, but he's also a good person you can talk to about this fund.
Good, mate. Mate, I'm wondering as we wrap up, I'm over time, that you would just pray for us in this whole area.
Absolutely.
Of giving cheerfully, regularly, intentionally, and sacrificially. Just pray for us, mate.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love for us and for your good gifts to us. We thank you that you bless us in so many ways. We thank you that you've blessed us as a church with this building and the ability to serve you and honour you in our community and in Australia and internationally. Yeah. Father, we thank you for your message this morning. We thank you that you give us so much and you look after our needs. And in this country, we really are fortunate. Yeah. And Father, I just pray that you would encourage us, each of us, to examine how we give to you and that you would challenge us to find ways to give more and increase our faith in doing so. And Father, we just continue to pray that you would use these funds for your benefit and for your glory. And Father, I just thank you once again for this message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Malcolm. Thanks, Em.